Good morning, Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody out this morning. The Lord has given us a beautiful day, beautiful weather. Had a beautiful day yesterday. Did anybody get outside yesterday? Oh, it was beautiful yesterday. Turn with me to page number 41. Page 41.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
We have a thank you card. It says Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church members. I wanted to thank you so much for the scholarship you provided me to receive from Fountain Lake High School. It was such a blessing and answer to prayer, and for that I am so thankful. Your scholarship will help me a lot as I begin this new chapter in life, going to college to become a therapist to hurting children wherever the Lord leads me. Again, thank you so much. God bless. Anna Grace Westerman. So we're glad to be just a small part of Miss Westerman's future. We pray that the Lord would use her mightily and bless her in her endeavors, along with all the other students. Anyway, all right, few announcements, not a lot. This morning will be our youth fund offering. Youth fund takes care of feeding the kids on Wednesday night and stuff like that. We are kind of limited in what we're doing on our Wednesday night services. But hopefully soon we'll get back to normal. Looking forward to that day. We do have a sign-up sheet back there for ice cream. So we're having a limited number of the kids in our Wednesday night service. So if you'd like to sign up to bring ice cream for the kids on Wednesday night until we transition back over into cooking, please feel free to do so. The list is on the back table back there. Next Sunday morning, August the 2nd, will be our building fund offering. And we are still in the process. And hopefully moving forward soon. This weather and everything else that's been going on has kind of been hindering that process. But hopefully before very long, it'll look a lot different out back again. Also, next Sunday evening will be our business meeting where we will get together here and discuss everything that's going on and upcoming. So plan on being here for that. Sadly to say, August 9th, is our homecoming every year, and we've had to cancel that this year due to the COVID and issues with that. So we're going to miss being able to do that. As far as I know, the first time it's ever happened, at least I know since I can remember. So sad days. It is what it is. God's still in control.
Everybody turn with me to page number 68. Page 68.
Blessed thought, sweet rest will come some glad day after a while, when all our toil on earth is done. There'll come a glad day after a while. Oh, after a while, after a while, there'll come a glad day. Glad day after a while. These heavy loads we shall lay down some glad day after a while. Receive our heavenly crown. There'll come a glad day after a while. Oh, after a while. Come a glad day after a while. Oh, after a while, after a while, there'll come a glad day after a while. Oh, after a while, after a while, there'll come a glad day after a while.
Page number 74. Page 74.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. For thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently wend them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
We're going to be reading out of Genesis chapter 12. We're going to start there. Romans 4 and Hebrews 11, we're going to make our way down through there. Today, this morning, I'd like to talk for a little bit about Abraham's faith. In the world and in the culture that we live in today, God's view of our faith toward Him and what He does has not changed. Our faith is what sees us through, just like Abraham's faith, just like Noah's faith. just like all men before us. If you'll indulge me for just a little bit, I want to give just a little short history lesson, and it is real short, condensed, leading up to Abram, who became Abraham. I want to talk for just a second about some numbers, dates, that are given in the Bible. It gets very confusing if you try to read all of it. And have you ever taken a pencil and a piece of paper and went down through the Adam lived and begat and this, that, and other, and on down, tried to trace out the numbers? I want to get into that just a tiny bit here in just a moment. I've written them down in the past and tried to follow that out, and to be quite honest with you, it makes my head hurt because you have to go here and then back up and then add this back in. Oh, I forgot that one, and add it back in. And I did look up a couple of opinions some writers had online, and I do know in my own mind, I haven't looked it up, but some smart person out there has written a book on all this and traced it all out. I dare say that reading that book would probably give me a headache as well. But I never want to not pay attention to what God wants us to see. God gave us these numbers and these lengths of time, so they're important to us. So don't just leave them out because maybe it's hard. But in Genesis chapter 5 and 5, it says, Adam lived 930 years and died. And in that whole context of those scriptures, Adam lived 130 years and begat Seth, his son. Seth lived 912 years. Now you can go over there and read all that. And all the way down through, it's given the lineages and the dates and all that stuff. But just in those two men, Adam and Seth, two generations spanned 1,712 years. Now, that's kind of mind-boggling to us when we live in a mentality of a 70-year cycle, or maybe a little more now as the life expectancy is kind of went up, but we're not guaranteed that. But they lived for a long time. So one of the accounts that I read calculated creation to be about 4,004 years before Christ. The flood, the great flood, remember, Noah, 2,348 years before Christ. Excuse me. Something a little over 6,000 years from creation to now. The flood was before Abraham, who I'm going to talk mostly about this morning. The reason that I even brought all this up was to make this point. Creation during the time of Abraham was not in its fledgling years. Several thousand years had it transpired, and when Abram came along, kind of went a little bit like this. Creation. God created out of nothing everything that we know and a lot of things that we don't know. But everything that's in our universe, even things we are not aware of, God created them. The good and the bad, all of it. It's created, came to pass only by the hand of Almighty God. Then Adam and Eve were placed in the garden, and the fall of man, which was when Adam sinned and ate of the forbidden fruit. How long was it between creation and the fall of man? I have no idea. Could have been a day, could have been an hour, could have been a million years. I don't know. But sometime between creation and Adam's sin, God walked on this earth with man. That makes me so happy because that's what God's plan always has been. And one day we're going to walk with him again in a new heaven, new earth. Between the fall of man and Adam's sin was when man was cast out of the garden. You can read all kinds of numbers. I don't know. It depends on whether you're a new earth, old earth type of believer. That's a whole nother subject, a whole nother. We're not going to get into all that stuff. But then the flood. The flood came after Adam and Eve were ejected or expelled from the garden, and God put a barrier up so they couldn't get back in. The flood came because man's thoughts were evil continually, and it grieved God that he had even created man because of the evil thoughts of their hearts. The Bible even tells us that in the latter days it will be like it was before the flood. You can go back and read that at your leisure. Folk were there now. But the flood came and destroyed everything except Noah and his family. You know why? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And because of one man, we are here today. Without Noah finding grace in the eyes of the Lord, I believe God would have went ahead and ended it then. That's what the story tells us. After that, though, man in his sinful nature repopulated the earth, and as the population grew, men became increasingly evil again. It's our nature, and it's something that we fight against continually. Then the Tower of Babel, as if you're following this on down through, and the Tower of Babel really was man's attempt to get to God in our own way. They were trying to build this tower up into the heavens so that instead of getting to him the way that he had prescribed, they could just go up the tower and get into heaven. Doesn't work that way. No man cometh unto the Father except by Jesus Christ, period. So God came down and he scattered. He confused their tongues, their languages, and he scattered them. So Noah's descendants were scattered across the earth. Then after that came God's call to Abram, later to become Abraham. A lot has happened in this old world when you think about it. And you look back at just a skimming of the history of it. It's interesting reading. God has recorded much of it for us. A lot has happened, though. So, and still, even after all the things that's happened, after all the bad that's happened, God still continues to bless us. You know why? Because he loves us. He truly loves us. If you think about the history of man, it is many failures followed by God's grace. We fail often, but God's grace is sufficient. Noah found grace in the eyes of God, and God decided to save mankind because of Noah's faith and dedication to God. Last night, excuse me, some of us went over to an event my cousin Joey was doing. He does a round pen ministry, and he's really my brother. But I added this little section this morning because I thought it just fit perfectly in with what I was going to preach. But Joey does a round pen ministry where he uses a young unbroken horse to show, to demonstrate submission to the will of God in our lives. And he ties that in with scripture and salvation and how that God requires us to submit to his plan for salvation. And as he's working with this horse, this young horse that's barely broken the lead, if you will, he teaches him that in the center of this round pen is peace and harmony and safety. And when we put God in the center of our life, we truly can have peace, harmony, safety. Through the message and the working of the horse that he did last night, he showed that the horse can't, you can't accept partial submission. God, my friend, will not accept partial submission. God requires you submit to His will, and His will is that you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It really is a beautiful thing to see how that He worked with that young colt and taught him in just a short period of time that always peace and submission, submission to God or to the will of God, the center comes in there in the middle. It's always the same, the safe place. Truly, when we submit to God, that is our safe place. The peaceful place. The place in your life when where you're in God's will and in the center of His will, nothing outside of that matters. It's a true picture of us trying to get back to there. That's our safe place, God's will. God's will, that's it. It's truly beautiful. When we submit to God, the picture that He gave. Thank you, Joy. I appreciate you. God bless you in your work. Have you ever thought, like Abraham, like Noah, just personally, you, have you ever thought this? Is my service to God really essential? Does my submitting to God's will in my life really matter? I'm just one person in the whole world and billions of people. Does it really matter? Well, I want you to know something this morning. Noah's life mattered because without him, we wouldn't be here. Abraham's life and his submission to God's will mattered because through him, God blessed the world with Jesus Christ. Yes, your life, your spiritual life matters to God. And I submit to you that it matters to me and my family and my descendants as well. Every life matters, makes a difference. Your life, my life, the life of people that I maybe haven't even met matters to all of us. I want you to know something this morning. I've said this for years and I believe it wholeheartedly, and the condition of the lost world is not going to be what determines when Jesus comes back. They're lost. It's the condition of God's people. Yes, your life matters. Amen. Just like Noah, just like Abraham. All the history that I've just went through and went over shows how God leads men and women when they submit to His will. How that He provides for us when we submit to Him. How that the world is still here because of one man. And through one man who submitted to God, the whole world was blessed. One man who found grace in the eyes of God. What if that one man is you? What if in the condition that we're in today, this world, this spiritual decay that we're living in, how long God puts off sending Jesus back depends on you and your spiritual relationship with God. Well, what does that matter, preacher? I'm ready to go, okay? Amen. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, praise the Lord. You are ready to go. But what about your kid or your grandchild or your friend? Or if God doesn't send Jesus back for 100 years, what about my great-grandchildren that you might be the one that allows them to be saved? Your spiritual life matters. Your walk matters. Your faith does make a difference. Abraham. Abraham, what a beautiful story. And if you go over there and you read the whole story, God will bless you. Listen, Abraham had a close relationship with God. We see it throughout the scriptures. He walked with God, and God led him where he wanted him to go. He not only walked the walk, he also talked the talk. But you see, they're both important. All of us have a story to tell. What is our story? And who are we telling it to? Our story needs to be about how we trust and have faith in God Almighty, how we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Listen to me, friend. Grace of God covers all sin. Our faith in God is really what makes a difference in this world. It's not me. I'm nothing special. I'm just a man born of a woman. My life is short, and it's full of hardships, as Job says. But through God, I've been allowed the privilege to lead a few people to the Lord. If you've never done that, let me tell you something, friend. There's nothing that will make your life better, make you happier, make you feel better than sitting down and leading, showing, guiding someone to Jesus. Abraham, he walked with God. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. How many of us are being led somewhere we don't want to go? Listen to this. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. Now I want you to think for just a second before I continue reading. Abraham was blessed by God already. Abraham walked with God, and God was blessing him. And now God told him, I want you to just pick up everything that you have, leave your father's house, in other words, leave all your kinfolk behind, and go into a land that I will show you as you're traveling. Now, many of us, all of us maybe, but many of us like to go places. How many of us just get on the road and say, well, we'll know where we're going when we get there? We've kind of done that a time or two, but normally that's not the way it works. You sit down and you say, well, I want to go to Colorado. You map out a trail. We're going to go so far. We're going to stop or not or whatever. But you have a plan. But I want you to see that Abraham's faith in what God was leading him to was complete. That's what God wants us, total submission to his will. So if God calls you to preach, will you answer that call? Yes, Lord. Wherever you would have me go. You see, that's the submission that God wants from us. Total, complete. I'm going to tell you this right straight up. We've prayed many times, and God, don't send us to New York. I don't want to go to New York. But my prayer also is if that's where God wants us, that's where we want to go. You see, that's what Abraham did. God said, get out of your country. Get thee out of there from your kindred, from your father's house, to a place that I'm going to show you. In verse 2, and I will make of thee. Now, I want you to see this. Abraham's submission is contingent upon what God is going to do for him. If Abraham had stayed there, God wouldn't have done the same thing for him. Do you see that? When we submit to God, then God will bless in ways we can't even imagine. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And then in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Friend, that's a promise of Jesus Christ coming through the seed of Abraham. Through Abraham and through his faith and through his walk with God, God promised him, if you'll follow me, if you'll go where I tell you to go, I will bless the whole world through your faithfulness in Jesus Christ. So, Abraham said, I'll think about it, God. Let me call everybody together and see what their opinion is. Let's have a vote of the Congress and see what's right and what's wrong. No, Abraham packed his bags and left. That's faith. That's submission. So Abraham, in verse 4, departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. 75 years old. And God said, I have something new for you. You know, I want you, you know, I was thinking about that the other day. I'll be 60 here in a few months. Yeah, I get pretty settled in my ways, right? I love it here at Oak Hill. It's a wonderful place to be. My prayer is that God don't send me anywhere else. But you know, I'm one of those people that God had plans for later in life. I was 48 years old when God called me to preach. That's a pretty good change in your life, friend, at 48 years old. God's blessed me greatly since. Not because I'm anything special, but just because I was willing and willing to be used. You never get too old to be used of God. You never get too old for God to put you in a different position for a different reason. Abraham was 75, and God said, leave everything you've known, leave all of your family, just get on the road, and I will show you where to go. That's true faith. That's a true walk with God. Abraham, as we know, as we read, or Abram, was renamed by Abraham, and God did make a great nation. And out of the seed of Abraham, God also blessed the world. His name was Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary over there in Bethlehem. And through him, we all have hope. And through our faith and our trust in him, we all have better things to look forward to. One man made a difference. You, my friend, whether you know it or not, make a difference in other people's life. God had promised Abraham and Sarah that he would make their descendants innumerable. And as time went along and they had no children, they, although had faith in God, as many of us do, they wanted to help God along. Have you ever been guilty of that? Well, God, I believe you. I trust you, but let me help just a little bit. And as you read that story, we all know that we are still suffering for those decisions. But God did honor his promise to Sarah and Abraham, and he gave them Isaac. And Isaac was the one that God had told them that they would have. And as Isaac was a young child and growing up, I want you to see this. We're going to read in Genesis chapter 22. But I want you to think about this. Abraham taught Isaac from the time that he was born how to worship God. So we're going to read the story about Abraham taking him up as the altar. I'll just read it and then we'll talk about it for a second. Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. You know how much Abraham loved Isaac. You have to know it. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham. and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham, load up your only son. Load up the fire. Load up the wood. And leave where you're at to a mountain that I'll show you, where you're going to sacrifice your only son to me. Abraham said, Let me think about it. Let me ask what everybody else thinks. No. In verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Once again, Abraham had faith. Abraham knew that God had promised him Isaac. He had faith. And on the third day, I wonder if that's significant. That's another sermon for another day. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? You see, Isaac knew that they had to sacrifice this innocent blood on the altar. Isaac had been taught, but he followed his father Abraham, just like the example that Abraham had set by following God. You see, our walk does matter to those that are around us. Can we stop here for just a second or two? I want you to know that probably in Isaac's mind, he was wondering how this was all going to play out. And Abraham, even though he had faith in God and what he had just said, that God would furnish his own sacrifice, his own lamb, he knew what he was fixing to do would be the hardest thing that he ever faced in his life. Oh, getting up and leaving your country and your kinfolk, that was a hard thing, no doubt. But can you even imagine going up on that mountain, knowing that God had told you to take the life of your only son? I don't think we can fathom the faith that Abraham had when he did that. Oh, God does provide. God did provide his own sacrifice up on the mountain with Isaac and Abraham. But the picture is so vividly plain. God provided the perfect sacrifice for all mankind through his only begotten son. Abraham went up on that mountain with every intention of plunging the knife into Isaac. The altar was laid, the fire was laid, and Isaac, I can vividly see it in my mind, was bound on the altar. Abraham had the knife up, and he wasn't just holding it up, waiting on God to say stop. He, I believe, was on the way down when the angel of the Lord spoke and told him to stop. Abraham put his faith to work, and because of his faith, we are blessed today. Abraham lived a godly life before his family. He was the spiritual leader of his house. He led by example. He knew. I believe that Abraham knew that if God wanted him to sacrifice Isaac on that altar, God could raise him back up, because God had promised him Isaac. You see, that's the faith. That's the submission that God requires of us. Just like God hung Jesus Christ on the cross there, yes, I know that they did it, the humans did it, but God allowed it to happen. They drove those spikes in his hands and his feet. They stood that old cross up, and Jesus hang there between heaven and earth bleeding. We know that God raised him from the dead. That's the submission. That's the faith that we have to have. It's all about what God did through his son, Jesus Christ. He furnished his own sacrifice for you and I. As I look around the world today and I see everything that's going on, what I see is really saddening, and I can only imagine what God thinks of us at this time in our history. We see the whole world seeming to put their wants, their cares, their desires ahead of God. I'll serve you, God, if it don't conflict with what I want to do. Or I'll serve you, God, if it don't require me leaving what I'm comfortable with. I'll serve you, God, unless I decide I don't want to put myself in jeopardy. I'll serve you, God, on my terms. You see, the truth of the matter is, we can't serve God on our terms. We can only serve God on his terms when we submit to him. Scary times that we're living. I think of everything that's going on right now. Yes, the riots are scary. People are buying more firearms than ever in history. A friend of mine is a gun dealer. He said they had over 4 million background checks for firearms in the United States last month. That's just the people that had to get their background checked. That's not counting the ones that bought firearms. You can't buy guns. Listen, there's nothing wrong with guns. I believe that you should have the right to protect yourself and your property. But here's what I think that we're missing the point on. That's only temporary. True protection only comes from knowing a risen Savior. Are we putting our trust in a firearm? Or are we putting our trust in the one that was raised from the dead? You say, we have to submit. We have to submit to the will of God in our life. What if you and your witness and how you act and what you do and where you go and how faithful you are to God's calling is the only thing that will lead your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, one of your children, one of your grandchildren, or one of mine to Jesus Christ? When we submit to the will of the Lord in our life, God truly works miracles. They came to the place that God had told them of. And Abraham fully intended to offer Isaac on that altar. But God made a ram mysteriously get tangled up in the bushes. God provided. God always provides when we trust him. Oh, for the faith of Abraham. If we just had the faith like Abraham, he trusted God completely and without hesitation. He didn't need a committee. He knew God. He left his home. He did all this stuff because he trusted God. God tested Abraham. Let me tell you something, Christian brother and sister. God is testing us today. God is testing his churches. God is testing this great nation that we're a part of. The balances don't look too good. But you know what? One man made a difference. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham had faith. Romans chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. Listen, stop right there. Because Abraham believed God, read again. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Because Abraham believed God, God counted it unto him for righteousness. God truly does bless faithfulness. Now faith, I love this, in Hebrews 11, just a few pages over, if you will. Read this whole chapter, if you get a minute, please. I love this. Look at it. We're going to start in verse 1, Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I've met Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, changed his life. I have never physically seen Jesus. I want you to know something. I believe with every fiber of my being that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he lives. And he saved my soul. And he's coming back for me. Faith. That's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's creation. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God made everything that we see out of nothing. And in verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Oh, by the way, Wednesday night we talked about this a little bit, but wasn't the first blood sacrifice performed by God himself in the garden? You see, Abel offered an acceptable sacrifice, which was innocent blood shed, the picture of God shedding that blood and covering the sins of Adam and Eve. And Cain, although offering the best that he had grown, was offering the works of his own hand. Not an acceptable sacrifice. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous because he had submitted to the will of God. God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Did you ever stop and think about that? Oftentimes we read right over that, oh, Abel. The first murder, unjustly killed. He went away into oblivion. No, some 6,000 years later or so, Abel is still speaking from the dead. Abel is still an example of an acceptable sacrifice to God. You see, every life matters. Every life. By faith, in verse 5, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Though without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, God will reward our faith. God rewards us when we walk the walk as well as talk the talk. It's easy to come to church on Sunday morning and be seen, talk, give everybody a hug. I know we're supposed to social distance, but you know what I'm saying. Coming to church on Sunday morning is the easy part. Really, preacher? I like to sleep in on Sunday morning. Well, let me just tell you something. Coming to church on Sunday morning for a short period of time is the easy part of the walk with God. If we can't do that, how do we expect to walk the walk all week? It's our faith that matters. Okay, so we come to church on Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. We've been good little Christians. I'm coming back tonight. Hallelujah. People think I'm really good. What about Monday morning? When I'm out in the world? When I'm working around a bunch of heathens, talk bad, tell dirty jokes, how am I going to act? You see, our faith, we have to put legs on our faith. Coming to church is the easy part of our faith because we're surrounded with people of like mind and attitude. It's easy to act right around y'all. What really matters is, how do I act when I'm in the world? Every life matters. Monday morning, you will come in contact with people that possibly don't know God, don't know Jesus Christ. Will your faith see you through? Without faith, it's impossible for us to please God. I want you to know that you only come to Jesus Christ through your faith in him. He is a true gift. It's not about how good you are or how good you can do or your abilities. It's all about what Jesus did. And your faith in Jesus Christ will set you free. But you see, that's just the beginning of your walk. That's just the beginning of your journey in faith. Jesus Christ will set you free. He will save your soul. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do is trust and believe. He is the Son of God. He gave his life on the cross without committing one sin, innocent of any wrongdoing. God raised him on the third day. He's alive, we say. We serve a risen Savior. But you see, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's just the beginning of your walk, of your witness, of your faith. We look forward to a city that's not built on the foundation of men, but built on the foundation of God by faith. We're still on this hill. We're still having church. We're still preaching Jesus Christ and him raised from the dead. Coming again in glory, Jesus still saves. By faith, we're still following God. By faith, we're still looking forward to that glorious day when Jesus comes back. By faith, we're set free. this morning, wherever you're at, if you're listening at home and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to be in here in this sanctuary to be saved. If the Spirit of God is leading you into salvation, all you have to do is submit to that leadership. Ask Jesus to save you. It's really simple. God, I believe your Son died on the cross for me. Jesus, save my soul. It's that simple. Trust and believe. When we do, when we have that faith, then we can start building upon it. And I want you to know that death does not frighten me, because I know that where I'm going is a much better place than this, because it's where my Savior lives. It's where my God is. That's true peace and happiness. That's what this faith is about. It's not about tomorrow here on this earth. It's about eternity in the presence of God. All you have to do is submit to God's will. What's God's will, preacher? God's will is that everyone would come to Him through Jesus Christ and His shed blood. That's it, plain and simple. You can read all the books you want. You can listen to all the learned men you want. It's just that simple. God's will is that you and I and everyone else who's ever been born would accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. This morning, God has given us another chance. God has given us another chance to show our faith. I want you to know that you that have came here this morning have shown your faith. You that have joined us on Facebook are showing your faith. We have to show the world that we have faith that God is in control, because in all reality, He is. How do you know, preacher? Well, guess what? If He wasn't, if the president could change it, he'd fix it. Congress, they can't fix it. European Union, they can't fix it. United Nations, they can't fix it. Only God. Only God. If you have your faith in anything other than God and Jesus Christ, you've put your faith in the wrong place, my friend. Submit to the will of God. Come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior before it's too late. He's blessed us with another day. He's blessed us with another opportunity to proclaim Jesus Christ and Him risen. Lord willing, we'll be back here tonight talking about it again. But if not, the decision you make right now will affect your eternal destination. Accept Jesus before it's too late. I want to ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. I'll ask our song leader, pianist, to come. Father, as we come to you at this time, thankful for another opportunity to stand, proclaim Jesus Christ, for the examples that you've given us in your word of faithful men and women throughout time. Lord, for the ones in our not too distant history that fought for these rights that we enjoy, for the ones, Lord, that started this church so many years ago through Jesus Christ and saw through the teachings, and Lord, for those that come after us, Lord, may we pass on to them the truth of your word, that they also might stand in another 100 years if you haven't came back proclaiming the risen Savior. I pray, Lord, for the ones that don't know Jesus. I pray for the condition of their heart, that they might have faith and that they might submit to the leadership of Jesus in their hearts, that they might accept Jesus before it's too late. Lord, help us in our walk. Help us in our daily walk, in our battle with the sin nature, Lord, of the things that are going on in the world. Just help us to stand firm. United we stand through Jesus Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.
Page 270.
I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. Crimson stain, he